Okay, good evening. Welcome to the Minnesota OA How live meeting. My name is Christina. I'm a compulsive overeater and your leader for this meeting.
Hi, Christina.
Hello. This is a meeting conceived to bring an added dimension of realism to our remote OA community. Our goal is to share the power of recovery via a meeting that is safe and by its nature, very visual. We want to welcome all those attending. You may reference our attendee guide for detailed instructions and information. If you would like to participate in the meeting, either by video or by phone before the meeting begins, please use the Sign Up Genius link called Volunteer to Participate Virtually on our website, mnhowlive.org. On the same webpage, you'll find a link to our meeting's readings and tools. If you have not signed up, you may volunteer to take a reading or tool via our meeting's live chat. Only 2-hour OA House sponsors share on tools. If you need technical help, you can register for a coaching session on Monday or Thursday evenings via our Sign Up Genius form. If you are unable to make this time, please send a note to mnhowlive@gmail.com. The audio portion of this meeting is being recorded. Please visit our website at mnhowlive.org to download the files. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation, and for those who wish to join us in saying the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity.
God, grant me the serenity.
Accept the things I cannot change.
Accept the things I cannot change.
The courage to change.
And
the wisdom to know the difference.
Thy will,
mine be done.
Amen.
I assume that I am not alone this evening, but for the rest, are there any compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself?
Hi, Christina,
we're here.
Glad you're not here. Please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the How format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read What is How?
Hi, everyone. I'm Elizabeth R. from Minnesota. And what is How?
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. How is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did How begin? How began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in How sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. And I'm sorry I don't have the last little part of this reading handy, if anybody's got it. But this. A few more words. I'm sorry, that's all I've got down.
Thank you. Would someone be willing to pick up the last few sentences?
It's just one sentence, actually. I'm so sorry.
Okay, I can do that.
Thank you.
I can do it.
Thank you,
Heidi. Hi, I'm Heidi, compulsive overeater.
Thanks, Heidi.
The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County New York Sponsors Guide. Thank you.
Thank you. Would someone please read the only requirement?
I'm Kelly, I'm a compulsive overeater. The only requirement.
Kelly, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do not suggest, however, that any group has requirements in addition, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the how concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this evening by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms. Thank you.
Thank you. Would someone please read the how concept?
Hi, this is Carrie. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Carrie. Welcome.
Hi, the how concept. Overeaters Anonymous meetings have been formed to offer a compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. The how groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of the program and the 12 steps and 12 traditions as necessary for a recovery. In OA How, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and the love of that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the how ideals will help us progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting is also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement. Sorry, I lost my place. In all areas of our lives, we ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifest on this meeting. Amen. Pass.
Thanks, Gary.
Would someone please read reflections for the newcomer?
Hi, I think that's me. Jane, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jane. Welcome.
Hi, Jane.
Reflections for the newcomer. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you have decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a discipline program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is if the sponsor insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. Doctor's opinion, Big Book, page XXV1, paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor, in all self-honesty, must release all sponsees and continue his own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is a most powerful restorative. The family afterward, Big Book, page 133. Good luck, everybody in the fellowship is praying that you will find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. Thanks.
Thanks, Jane.
Thanks,
Jane.
Thank you, Jane. Would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12?
Hi, my name is Pamela, and I got my candle lit for my anniversary tonight.
Hi, Pamela.
Step 2 of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while, all the while we are disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and we have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we are doing to ourselves with food, we become obsessed with diet. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive system. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with the other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff our food in our mouths until we were in physical pain. Then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as long as our compulsive eating progressed and became harder for us to get enough, instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered, yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery. Thank you for letting me be part of your meeting.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thanks, Pamela.
Would someone please read from chapter 5 of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, How It Works?
I am Liz A., grateful compulsive eater and food addict in Ormond Beach, Florida.
Hi, Liz.
Welcome.
How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. Whoops. Sorry about that. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. There are those too, their chances are less than average. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Thank you for letting me do service. I pass.
Thanks, Liz.
Could someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Hi, I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Revitel.
Hi, Revitel. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. Good to see you here tonight. Alrighty, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order, I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. From the Big Book, Chapter 5, page 60. Thank you.
Thanks, Ravitel.
Would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program?
Hi, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tamara. Welcome.
Hi, Tamara.
Thank you. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Tamara.
The Tools of Recovery, the 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous, are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as, quote, any person or thing used to get something done, end quote. We have many tools of the program which help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
What? My goodness, you're kidding.
Wow.
No way. Go figure.
Yes, so too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that HOW sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper? The timekeeper. Okay, Tamara is the timekeeper, yes. And participants will receive timing prompts via the chat. Okay, the first one is abstinence plan of eating.
Hi everyone, I'm Maureen from Virginia, and I'd like to do the 201 plan of eating.
Hi, Marie.
Welcome. Hi, Marie.
Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The HOW disciplines were designed for food-addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. HOW abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in HOW. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighted and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor and committed so that we can get on with our recovering and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. Number one, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. We weigh and measure all our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and scale. And now I'll share what's in my abstinence kit. I have two scales. The first one is the one I use mostly in my kitchen, which is very nice. This is from Etic City. I got it from Amazon. Let's see a little closer there. And it's just your basic scale, although I really like this bowl that comes off. So if I'm measuring, let's say, the baby spinach I have with breakfast, I'll put it in here, put it on the scale, but also I can just put any plate on and I can tear it so that I read zero and then just put whatever food on that I want. So I really like this little scale. It does a fine job. And then I have an even smaller scale. This one I just bought a couple weeks ago. And I like it because, first of all, it's very compact. And I can take the little tray and put it on the top. I think technically this is a tray to measure jewelry. But here's this is AccuWeight, again, from Amazon. What I really like about this is that you can take the little lid, put it on, and it fits in my really small purse. So I really like that. And the only thing weight I have in my food plan are teaspoons and ounces. So I have this little teaspoon and I have my little butter knife. So I'll put whatever I'm measuring, whether it's butter or oil or salad dressing, put it in and make sure that I get it level off so that I'm not getting anything extra. Whatever is inside is mine, whatever is outside is not. And I love with butter, this little butter knife. I can scoop it right out and it works great. So those are my tools besides, of course, my phone of calling into my sponsor. And the fourth guideline for our food plan says we weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight and once a week on maintenance. Number five, unless advised otherwise by your doctor, you take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. Six, we do not drink alcohol. Seven, we do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed, fifth or beyond on the ingredients label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that counts. It is the decision to take it. And for my share, I have two insights that I'd like to lift up. The first is the importance of finding a good food plan for yourself. I have used a nutritionist that I know many of you know of, Lisa Merrill. She knows very well about the HOW program, and she's been a nutritionist for over 20 years.
I ask her if she could please put together a food plan that will help reduce my inflammation because I have rheumatoid arthritis, osteoarthritis, and fibromyalgia. So inflammation is a key factor for me to keep low. And so my food plan actually has no dairy, no nightshades, no gluten, no lectins, and no starches. Basically, my food plan is protein, fruit, veggies, non-starch veggies, non-nightshade veggies, and fats, and only a limited number of lectins. So, and you think, oh my gosh, this is really limited. But I'll tell you, I have found it just very satisfying and just delightful. I've also rediscovered that, oh yeah, I can cook. I don't necessarily like to cook, but I've discovered cooking. So now I have a nice variety. Getting different recipes is super important. But, and finding the plan that works best. When I first got my food plan, it was too much food. I was actually hurting myself trying to eat it all. And so I talked to Lisa about it. She changed it down, adjusted some things, and it works beautifully. Very happy with my food plan. And also, she asked me if I wanted to know how many calories are in my food plan. And I said, please don't tell me how many calories because I know I'll overthink it and I'll try to tweak it. And I said, please don't tell me. So I have no idea. And I am still on the plan for losing. And this plan is lovely. I'm losing about a pound a week. And so I'm very happy with it. So getting that expert opinion is fantastic. And the last insight I wanted to share was about this sentence that goes by very fast. It says, we also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. I would like to flip that and say we actually fill ourselves with positive thinking. So part of our food plan is an emotional food of positive thinking and filling all those corners of our hearts and our minds with positivity. And it's part of this program that I just love. It gets me beyond my controlling nature, my desire to, just not have the positive thoughts. So, and I appreciate that very much. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Maureen.
Thank you, Maureen.
Would someone please read a pitch on sponsorship?
Hey, y'all. This is Megan in Virginia.
Hi,
sorry,
Megan.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Megan. Welcome.
Glad to be here. Almost missed it. I lost track of time. This is sponsorship. Okay, tool number two, sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive, not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string being that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate
tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. So I am really grateful for the tool of sponsorship. Have my poor big book. It is like literally falling apart at this point. Hopefully I haven't lost any of my pages. But in working with others in chapter 7, the first those first sentences say, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when all other activities fail. And this is the message, to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters. I'm so grateful for all of the sponsors who have been in my life, who have shared with me what works for them. I have had at least 5 fairly long-term sponsors since starting this program in 2009. And they've each given me and shared with me what I needed at the time. It's just, it always works out that way, you know? And I am grateful to have sponsees that I help. And when I'm working with a sponsee, what I have to remember is all I have to share is what's worked for me and the structure of the program. I don't add on and I don't take away. I don't personally mess with people's food. I believe the food is between them and the nutritionist. As long as the food follows those guidelines that were read in our previous tool of the food plan, that's it. You know, it just has to meet those guidelines. And then if there's other questions about the food or, you know, quantities or how to measure something, I always direct my sponsees back to their nutritionist, because I'm just another compulsive overeater and I don't want to mess with anybody else's food. So my job is to listen to their program work, to them working the steps, to listen to their food, to make sure that, you know, they didn't forget something in their food plan. I mean, I know I've done that. I've forgotten to commit things and my sponsor has caught me. Oh, don't you need a dairy there or whatever? You know, do that. And to reflect back what I'm hearing, you know, to reflect when I'm hearing, you know, I'm hearing some self-pity, or to reflect, wow, did you hear that? Did you hear how well you navigated that situation? I know that was an issue for you before, and look how great you did. You know, the sponsor is able to kind of have that view, that 40,000 foot view, where it they can see maybe patterns that I can't see because I'm too close up. So my sponsor does that for me, and I hopefully do that for my sponsees. And, you know, if nothing else, I know that, you know, it is the insurance I need to remain abstinent and in this program. And my time's up, so I pass. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thanks, Megan.
Thanks, Megan.
Thanks, Megan.
Thanks, Megan. For the sake of time, will all HOW and OA sponsors please join me in the sharing of only the following. 1, how long in OA and HOW. 2, how long abstinent in OA or HOW. And 3, how much weight gained or lost. This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Sponsors are invited to share by starting your video and clicking the raise hand button on the participants panel, or pressing *9 on your phone, or just start your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and your audio will be unmuted. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line. Okay.
Megan? Hey y'all, thank you. Dropping things. This is Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater, an OA House sponsor. I came into program February of 2009. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th of 2015. And I've given away 85 to 90 pounds in program. And that's it. I pass.
Betty C.
Hi, this is Betty, compulsive overeater. And I am a sponsor. I've been that since I first found How OA in August of 2016. And this program has allowed me to remove at least 100 pounds. And I'm very grateful to the program and the spiritual growth it's given me.
Tamara?
Hi, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. I found OA How in April of 2017. I was given the gift of abstinence and was relieved of over 75 pounds, kept it off for over two years. I do have a recommitment date of December 1st of 2019, and I pass.
Maureen?
Hi again, everyone. Maureen A. in Virginia, and I joined traditional OA in March of 2019 and became sugar abstinent. Then I joined OA How in January of this year, became fully abstinent, and have released over 40 pounds so far. And then I passed.
Mary?
This is Mary G. I'm in St. Paul, Minnesota. I came into OA on Halloween 2012. My abstinence date is November 1st, 2012. I lost and maintained 75 pounds.
Lewis?
I'm Carlos Overfood. My name is Lewis from Maryland. I came into OA How in March of 2006. My back-to-back abstinence date is from January 3rd of last year. And by the grace of God, I've surrendered over 80 pounds from my top weight.
Ruth?
Oh, this is Ruth in Connecticut. I'm an OA How sponsor. My back-to-back date is December 11th of 2008, and I'm maintaining a 45-pound weight loss. Pass.
Heidi?
Hi, I'm Heidi in Minneapolis, compulsive overeater. My current abstinent date is July 26th of 2019, and I'm down 72 pounds.
Berta?
My name is Berta. I am a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. I first went to two meetings of Overeaters Anonymous in 1990, didn't come back to this fellowship until December of 2008. Today is 838 of How abstinence. I've been keeping 65 pounds off for 10 years, and I'm off my blood pressure medication. I pass.
Becky B.
Hi, I'm Becky B. I'm from Minnesota. I came into the rooms of OA on April 20th of last year and recommitted on May 25th of last year. I have lost 100 pounds.
Sheila?
Hi, I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater and binge eater from Minnesota. I came directly to How in May of 2015. My abstinence date is May 19th of 2015, and I've been relieved of over 90 pounds. Pass.
Ruby Tao?
Hi there. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Ruby Tao. I was walked into the OA rooms in 2004, December of 04, was introduced to the two OA How rooms in May of 2017, where for the first time on May 23rd, I was able to become abstinent and remain abstinent to this day by the grace of God and the power of this program format. My body has released approximately 100 pounds. I'm really grateful to be here tonight. Thank you.
Pamela?
Hi, my name is Pamela. I'm a compulsive food addict. I came into OA over 40 years ago, and I stayed for the vanity, not the sanity. I lost over 100 pounds. Kept that off for a good 20 years. Came down to Florida 21 years ago, and it took me 18 or 19 of those years to get back into OA, and it was OA How that I came to on January 22nd, 2016. My recommitment date is June 15th, 2017. And my weight loss or gain is between my doctor, my nutritionist, my sponsor, and my higher power. And I do take phone calls for temp work or food changes, and my phone number is on the chat list. Thank you for letting me share.
Jana?
Hi, I'm Jana B. I'm a compulsive overeater and restrictor in California. And a 2-hour HOW format sponsor. My back-to-back recommitment date is August 4, 2014. And I've been maintaining about a 20, 22 pound weight loss for several years. Thanks, and I pass.
Debbie Z.
Hi, my name is Debbie. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came to the rooms of OA in February of 2005. I started working the HOW concept in October of 2006. My current abstinence date is October 12, 2018, and I'm down 120 pounds, and I pass.
Michelle?
Hi. This is Michelle C. from Minnesota, compulsive overeater and food addict. My back-to-back abstinence date is January 14th of 2020. And by the grace of God, I am down 42 pounds. And with that, I pass.
Jane?
I'm Jane, compulsive overeater on Vancouver Island in the west coast of Canada. My abstinence date in HOW is September 19th of 2019. I have lost about 14 pounds, I think. And I have a sponsee opening for 7 a.m. Pacific time, and I will put my particulars in the chat. Thanks.
Kaya?
It's on mute. Okay. Oh. Hi, everybody. Now you can hear me. This is Kaya P. in Denver, Colorado. I am a 2-hour HOW sponsor. I've been Overeaters Anonymous for about 33 years, started in HOW. I've been in lots of different communities, and I'm very grateful to be just about, please God, my higher power, on June 20th. We'll have 1 year of back-to-back abstinence. I'm maintaining a very healthy body weight. I'm also a bulimic restrictor, so grateful to be relieved of all of that stuff due to this program. Thanks. Hi, AP in Denver, Colorado.
Mike?
Hi, this is Mike in Texas, following the 2-hour OA HOW format since July 19, 2004. Recommitted abstinence date is December 30th of 18. I'm down between 75 and 80 pounds from my peak weight.
Howard?
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor on the late shift. I've been abstinent 18 years and 11 months. I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
If there's anybody else on the line, on the phone, I think it's *9 or *6. If we have any phone participants. Christina?
Hi, everyone. I'm Christina, compulsive overeater in Taos, New Mexico. I'm an OA HOW 2-hour sponsor. I have been an OA HOW since January 2015. My current abstinence date is June 2017, maintaining about a 50-pound weight loss. It's great to be here. Is that everyone? All right, I'm going to move on then. Clay feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him or them out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion, and if the person is wise, he or she or they will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Okay, would someone please read and pitch on anonymity?
Hi, this is Betty. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Betty. Welcome.
Hi, Betty.
Hi, Betty.
Oh. Betty, please unmute again.
Anonymity, thank you. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within the community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at a meeting should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break in anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service officers of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help or a group member in trouble, provided we are careful to omit the specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is the part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time. Honestly, who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms were the first place where we have no fear being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come to OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told, "Your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery." Recovery is a threefold level: physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers. Please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity always allows us to grow and recover from very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you stay here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
You're here.
And anonymity has so many special meanings in my life, but when I think of anonymity, it is what gives me an opportunity to share about myself, as the reading said, about my disease and about things that have led me to where I am today. These are things that I might be too embarrassed or even feel humiliated to talk about with others. I'm able to share freely and listen to others as they share and not to judge them, as I know they won't judge me. Anonymity builds my integrity as I think about gossip. Wanting to be liked, I might have been tempted to talk about something someone else had said just for the drama and to be liked. But since I am in how, I no longer am tempted to do this kind of talking. It doesn't have that same draw for me, and I'm free from that desire. Anonymity is a way to practice humility, to live in what I like to call thankful contemplation. I like to think that, but it's not so easy to say. Thankful contemplation of the gifts of the program. It is the foundation of our program, and it allows me to feel safe, to be safe with my fellows, and have trust to move me towards greater recovery. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Betty.
Someone please read and pitch on telephone.
Yes, this is Ruth in Connecticut.
Hey, Ruth.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Glad you're here.
Great, thank you. Tool 4, telephone. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard-to-handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors, and as part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others. And how we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. For some reason, just now as I was reading this, I was remembering that I had to, when I first came in the program, I had to plot out my day in 15-minute increments, and I would like put in it helped me to put it put my phone calls on a schedule so that I would, just like I had to plan out my food, it really helped me to kind of figure out, okay, when am I going to do my reading and writing, when do I talk to my sponsor, that sort of thing. But and then I put the 15-minute slot to make phone calls at various points in my schedule. Now I tend to be a lot more flexible about it, and but it does really help me to get a call in maybe first thing in the morning, and definitely to get a call in before I start working. When I wait till too late in the day, it's easy for the time to get by and to be late, and then I feel a little bit more self-conscious about making calls later in the evening. I'll look and see what time people are available, but I feel like I'm bothering people. I'm very glad though that in this program that everybody is expected to make phone calls, because then usually people are happy to receive phone calls. And I don't have that same hesitancy that I used to have about bothering people, like I was saying before, because it really is an opportunity to share what I'm doing in the program, or to maybe ask whoever I'm talking to what problems or something I might be having a problem with, or a question about a specific thing I'm trying to figure out. You know, I have people I can talk to throughout the day. The other thing I did when I first came in, which I still do now, I used a checkbook register, and I would write down who I called, because I couldn't remember whether that was to keep track of getting my calls in. Now I can look on my cell phone and see, did I make my 3 calls? And I can look back and remember, oh yeah, I talked to these 3 people. I also have some notes in my phone of maybe something I've talked to about someone, in case I need to call someone who's maybe has experience with different issues, different life issues that come up for me. So I have found that helpful. I also think it helps to call newcomers or people with long-term abstinence, and to get people maybe that I don't talk to very often to kind of mix it up a little bit. So that's what I try to do. Thanks.
Thank you. Would someone please read and pitch on—
Thanks, Ruth.
Tool 5, meetings, OA house spot. That's not what I wanted. I'm on meetings.
Hi, Pamela. Welcome. Hi.
Welcome, Pamela.
I'm looking crazy here. Okay. 2-5, meetings. Meetings are gathering of 2 or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery, and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least one HOW meeting a week. Sorry, got an itch. When I came in 2016 to OA HOW, we had a face-to-face meeting here in Sarasota, which this summer the face-to-face disbanded, and they've gone to the virtual telephone meeting. So I was fortunate to find people face-to-face and to be able to touch them and hear them and feel the recovery in the room. That's why I like this virtual meeting, that I can see people and I feel part of this group. And I know that, you know, meetings are very important because it instills in you the point of recovery as people go through the beginning readings and the sponsor readings and sharing. That you learn something every time. And my meetings, I get to this meeting now, since they've changed their time a little bit earlier. And I go to a couple others. I don't just go to one meeting a week. I need to have other people around me that are in recovery. And since I am in lockdown, that's all I can do right now is phone meetings and this virtual live meeting. And I do the best I can. And I try to participate in all the meetings that I attend in one way or another. And I've tried. I go to meeting, there is an OA meeting here on Saturdays that I attended frequently, and I haven't attended it since COVID-19 presented itself. And that's shame on me because I have no excuse. But meetings are very important, and it shows us that there's many kinds of meetings. I mean, there's like the OA meeting I go to on Saturdays is they do the first 164 pages of the big book, and they do the brown book. So that's more or less a literature meeting and discussion. Then they have 12-step meetings, and that goes through each step every week, and you read the chapter of that particular step, and then it's open to up to discussion to make to be clarified for the newcomer what these steps means. And the fellowship, I've got many friends because of the fellowship in this program, and I am so grateful that that I have. And with that, I'm going
thank to- Thank you, that's time.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me-
Thanks, Pamela.
Thanks, Pamela.
Thanks, Pamela.
Would someone please read and pitch on literature and writing?
Hi, this is Sheila, a compulsive overeater and binge eater. Literature Hi, and Sheila, writing.
Welcome. Hey, Sheila, welcome.
Welcome.
Literature. We study the book Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another book to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 and Step, 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, For Today for Daily Meditation, and Lifeline, our Journal of Recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem, as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to writing our inventories and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. So when I came into program and learned that I needed to do some reading and writing every day, that was a little, felt like a little much, especially since I did not like to read and I also did not like to write. So this seemed like a lot, but you know, at first it was really a way for me to kind of that reading and writing was a way for me to help me learn about the program a little bit more, learn a little bit more about what a 12-step program was. I came into OA How without any other 12-step background. I didn't have any idea what even the 12 steps were, what that meant. By doing this, by kind of being, I want to say forced, or maybe wasn't necessarily forced, but really suggested that if I was going to be working this program, I did need to do reading and writing every day. It was a way for me to learn about the program. And you know, it's amazing how I think about this. I have been doing reading and writing every day since. And, you know, even some of our literature I have read more than once. Some of it even more than two or three times. And just this, in the past few days, I just had a really neat experience because there was some literature that I was reading as part of my assignment. And this is actually some literature that I had read previously. But what jumped out at me is it was talking about a specific defect of character. And as it was describing this defect of character, I realized that that is a defect of character that I possess, that I have that defect of character. I know that I've had that character defect, but I kind of forgot about it. It was just, and I guess not on my radar. And by reading about this and the way it was described, it was, I thought it was being kind of written about me. And what was so lovely about that is that by reading the literature, I had that awareness. It kind of made me aware of that character defect. And then what I got to do is I got to write about it. And I got to share that with my sponsor and just kind of reflect on it. And, you know, without this reading and writing and just kind of that opportunity to reflect every day, it just helps. You know, I think in here it says something about, you know, it's an opportunity to kind of get our thoughts and feelings down on paper. And that's exactly what it is. Some days my writing, it feels like I do a better job at it than other days. Sometimes I even say to my sponsor, you know, my writing isn't that great today. And she said, whatever it is that you wrote down is what it is, what you were supposed to have written down. It's what God had asked me to write down. And it is just as it says, an indispensable tool for working the steps. And I'm just very grateful for this tool. I'm actually to the point now where I actually, not that necessarily that I enjoy reading and writing, but I certainly enjoy reading our literature and writing about it. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Sheila.
Thank you.
Would someone please read and pitch on service?
I'll serve her food. My name is Lewis from Maryland.
Hey, Lewis. Welcome.
Service, carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers. Doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole are ways in which we can give back what we've been so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as a result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. The basis of OA comes from AA, and the co-founder of AA, Dr. Bob, said he boiled down recovery to two things, and he said it's love and service. And what I'm learning in how is that the more service that I do, the greater the love I not only have for the program, but the love and respect I have for those who are working this program. Service in this program can be as simple as just showing up at a meeting. And that's a great service because I was so grateful that I was able to come to a meeting when I came into OA How, and there were plenty of people there. So just being at a meeting is great service. The service that is done during the meeting, all of the various roles and the various parts that people play is a great form of service. Sponsorship is a great form of service. Another great form of service I have learned in how is that asking for help is as important a form of service than carrying the message. In other words, when I ask for help, I give someone else the opportunity for service. So I'm learning that service is the currency of recovery. So in other words, the more service I do, the richer my recovery gets. And in doing service in OA How, I'm learning how to do service outside of OA How to my family and to work, neighbors, and that it's really the service is aside from not eating compulsively and weighing and measuring my food and abstaining from negative thinking, service is the most important thing I can do because it leavens my heart and it gets me out of myself, and it is a daily discipline that I have to engage in order to be happy and have a meaningful life. I did not understand this when I came into How, but it's through the daily disciplines of performing these actions that I've that the fruits of it are a great fulfillment and happiness in life. So and it really supports a whole joy of living that is what the promise of this program is. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Lewis.
Will all people doing service for OA at any level please stand and...
Yay!
Service!
Yay, service!
Woohoo! The Minnesota OA How Live Meeting is a friendly place and we want to get to know each other. If you are attending for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line, or press star and 6 on your telephone's keypad and introduce yourself by first name only and where you are from. If you would like to receive phone calls, please give us your phone number, time zone, and best times to call.
Hi, my name is Lynn. I'm from Texas, and...
Hi, Lynn, welcome.
Interpreting and was interested in... this group, visiting this group. So thank you very much.
Welcome, Lynn.
Glad you're here.
Any other newcomers?
Yeah, this is Ryan. It's my second time coming to the Zoom meeting.
Welcome, Ryan.
Glad you're here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Hi, this is Becky B. This is my first time at this meeting.
Welcome, Becky. Welcome, Becky.
Glad you're here.
This is Barb. This is my first time at the meeting, too. I'm from Minnesota.
Hi, Barb.
Welcome, Barb. Glad you're here.
Hey everyone, this is Tracy and I'm in Virginia. This is my first time at this meeting.
Hi Tracy.
Welcome, Tracy.
Yay, Tracy.
Welcome, glad you're here.
Hello.
Hi Ronnie.
Hi, this is Ronnie from Arizona. This is my first time at the meeting. I heard one of the stories and I'm definitely looking forward to be a part.
Hi, Ronnie. Welcome. Glad you're here. Welcome.
Yeah. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Karen in South Carolina, and this is my first time at this meeting.
Hi, Karen. Karen. Welcome.
Hi, Karen.
Glad you're here.
Any other newcomers? Okay, this meeting has ASL interpretation provided by state funding. We ask all deaf participants to please utilize the chat to let us know that you are here. Please include the city and state in which you reside. You can also inform us by changing your username to ASL_name_state_city. May we please have a treasurer's report?
Not tonight.
Okay. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, contribute to our service structure, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. Please go to MN How Live to donate. Okay, I'm going to read the promises. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not.
We think not.
Not.
They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. That's from the Big Book, pages 83 to 84. Okay, are there any announcements?
Yes, this is Sheila, compulsive overeater again. We are set on leaders kind of through June and through most of July. We do need, I think there's 1 week in July that we may need a leader. And so just wanted to announce if anyone that is a sponsor is interested and willing to lead our meeting on a Tuesday night, feel free to reach out to me or to Mary G and we can get you on the schedule. And then maybe I'll just throw in here a little for speakers as well. I think Megan has actually does a great job of looking for the speakers, and it looks like we have speakers through most of July as well. But if you would like to speak at an upcoming meeting and share your story, we can certainly always use speakers as well. And lastly, if you have an anniversary coming up and would like to share your story as a speaker on your anniversary, just reach out to Megan or myself or Mary G. Any of us will get you on the calendar to speak and celebrate your anniversary.
Hi, this is Howard, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Howard.
Hi there. See, we need a treasurer, and so we're kind of looking for someone to step up out there in our community. We have a banking account at Wells Fargo, so that's pretty accessible. We've also talked about maybe finding another like a virtual bank or another credit union or something, where we would not have the $500 minimum. So if you are interested, I mean, we most of our bills are paid automatically, but it's still, we need someone to kind of overlook things and keep up on our account and that kind of thing. So maybe if you send a note to mnhowlive@gmail.com if you're interested, and thank you.
Are there requirements for treasurer position, Howard?
You need to be a sponsor, and you know, I would say someone who's familiar with the group a little bit.
Thanks. Any other announcements? Okay, literature and books, newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the virtual intergroups resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It is now time for medallions. At How meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the How program. All other abstinence, OA abstinence, is given a round of applause.
Yay! All right, abstinence. Yeah.
Okay. Anyone may request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. Let's begin with 15 or more years of abstinence. Is anyone celebrating that milestone? What about 10 to 14 years of abstinence? Does someone have their hand written? Okay. What about 6 to 9 years of abstinence? Anyone? All right. How about 2 to 5 years of abstinence? Anyone celebrating an anniversary today? Okay. How about 18 months? 1 year?
Hi, excuse me. I have 3 years to yesterday.
Oh, wonderful. Congratulations.
Yay, Pamela. Yay,
congratulations, Pamela.
Congratulations. Yes. 3 years. Way to go. Way to go.
Yay, Pamela.
Woohoo. All right. 2 years? 1 year? 9 months?
Rivetel?
Oh, yes. 3 years, but I celebrate with you today, although it was a little bit earlier than today. So yes, 3 years
awesome.
Of abstinence.
Congratulations.
Right.
Thanks, everybody.
Congratulations. Okay, we have two people. Awesome. Okay, what about 3 months abstinence? Anyone got 90 days who wants to celebrate today?
This is Elizabeth. I have 6 months. Is there 6 months?
6 months is perfect. Yes. Congratulations. Way to go.
Woohoo. Yeah,
congratulations.
Way to go.
Yay. Right.
What about 60 days?
Hi, everybody. I'm Kelly, compulsive overeater. I have 30 days last Wednesday.
Congratulations. Yay.
Congratulations,
Kelly. Wow.
Congratulations, Kelly. All right. Good job, Kelly.
There we go.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay. And the last one is the chip of desires, the most important one. It is given to anyone, whether you're a newcomer or an old timer. It's simply someone who is willing to say, I am making a commitment tonight to try this out, to be open, to be honest, to be willing, to try to be abstinent for the next 24 hours. And so is there anyone who would like the chip of desire? There's no obligation. There's no commitment. You're not locked in. Anyone? All right. Well, and so congratulations to the two people who are celebrating anniversaries tonight. Step ups. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks a sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first three steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HOW meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers, remember to drink your water, and reminder that we don't water down the program. I don't believe there are any step ups tonight. Is that correct?
Not tonight.
Another time. Okay, anniversaries. We do have two anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. That comes from the OA Group Handbook, page 10. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting, and we invite the people who are celebrating an anniversary to turn on their video for the anniversary readings. And I think we have, are there any anniversaries? We have two, yes?
Yes.
Yay. Great. All right. So it's Pamela and Revital, right? We have two anniversaries. Okay. I'm going to do the reading. Pamela and Revital, now comes the biggest question yet. What about the practice of these principles in all our affairs? Can we love the whole pattern of living as eagerly as we do the small segment of it that we discover when we try to help other alcoholics achieve sobriety? Can we bring the same spirit of love and tolerance into our sometimes deranged family lives that we bring to our AA group? Can we have the same kind of confidence and faith in these people who have been infected and sometimes crippled by our own illness that we have in our sponsors? Can we actually carry the AA spirit into our daily work? Can we meet our newly recognized responsibilities to the world at large? And can we bring new purpose and devotion to the religion of our choice? Can we find a new joy of living and trying to do something about all these things? Furthermore, how shall we come to terms with seeming failure or success? Can we now accept and adjust to either without despair or pride? Can we accept poverty, sickness, loneliness, and bereavement with courage and serenity? Can we steadfastly content ourselves with the humbler, yet sometimes more durable satisfactions when the brighter, more glittering achievements are denied us? The AA answer to these questions about living is yes, all of these things are possible. We know this because we see monotony, pain, and even calamity turn to good use by those who keep on trying to practice AA's 12 steps. And if these are facts of life for many alcoholics who have recovered in AA, they can become the facts of life for many more. It's from the AA 12 and 12, page 111.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, PJ.
Yay.
Congratulations.
Yay.
Congratulations, Pamela.
Congratulations. Yay.
Good job. Thanks for celebrating with us, guys.
All right. Attendees may sign up to celebrate your step ups or anniversaries via the link on our website. Okay. And the leader now qualifies for 10. Okay, I am Christina. I am a compulsive overeater. I am living in my fourth state since I became an OA HOW fellow. I'm currently living in New Mexico. I move around a lot. It's an adventure. And I am thrilled to share just a little bit today. Timer, Tamara, can you just let me know when I have 1 minute?
Yes, will do.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I wanted to zero in on just one line. I'm actually scheduled to be the speaker, the 20-minute speaker next week. So I'm going to just give a little snapshot today of my recovery process, journey, joy, healing, liberation, all the things. And let's see, I wanted to focus on just one little line from the Ninth Step Promises. It's probably my favorite section of the big book. I read it earlier in the meeting, but there's one line here that's really beautiful. It says things that, we will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. Okay, so all of these promises are incredible, right? Like, we're going to have a new freedom, a new happiness, uselessness and self-pity will disappear, we'll lose interest in selfish things, our whole attitude and outlook on life will change. All of these things are incredible, and every single one of those lines has in some way or another come true on some level, and I believe that more and more levels and depths will be revealed and healed. But I just want to talk about one little piece that has been so powerful for me. When I first came into program in 2015, I am a compulsive eater and also a failing restrictor. I grew up and through most of my life, I was a really successful restrictor. I could go days without eating. I was really good at restricting. I would binge sometimes, but then I would pretty quickly make up for it with restricting. And if I wasn't able to restrict successfully, I would compulsively exercise. And so like in high school, for example, I was a four sport varsity athlete, and I would go to practice I was this very competitive school, and we would have these grueling practices. And then after practice, I would go to the gym and do like the Stairmaster or something like that for an hour. So I was always compensating with the binges with over-exercising. And so when I came to program, when I kind of hit rock bottom and was introduced to OA How in 2015, when I was 34 years old, I was kind of this person who was binging a lot because I didn't know how to manage my emotions at all. And then I would obsess about food, and I would also exercise a lot. I wasn't as good at restricting anymore. That muscle got weaker and weaker and weaker as I got older, which it makes sense. They say this disease is a disease of progression, and that has definitely been my experience. And so when I first came to program and I was talking to my sponsor about my food history and everything, my sponsor said, yeah, so we're going to need to make not exercising too much part of your program. And so, cause when I came to program, I was doing the elliptical like 2 hours a day or something like that. Cause I was trying to manage this horrible compulsive overeating problem that was just out of control, which really just covered up a deeper problem of all these emotions that were just out of control. And so when she said that, I mean, the food plan, I was like, I'm cool with that. I get it. But don't tell me not to exercise. Don't tell me I can't just get out and go run 10 miles in order to run away from my problems, essentially. But we made it part of my action plan that I wouldn't exercise for more than 20 minutes a day. And this is someone who was doing several hours a day. It was like a part-time job, really. I committed to that. That was part of my abstinence plan. I was going to follow my food plan. I was going to drink all my water. I was going to try to abstain from negative thinking. And I was also not going to exercise for more than 20 minutes a day, at least in terms of like, you know, high intensity exercise. I was allowed to go for a walk or something. But the intense exercise that I was addicted to, that I was compulsively doing, I was not doing, because I was trying to live life on life's terms. And one of the things that became clear to me over time, and this is where I'll get to these promises, is that the exercising, the obsessing about exercising, the ruminating while I was exercising, the taking all that time to exercise was actually just like the obsession around the food. It was just preventing me from actually dealing with my life, with my emotions, with my pain, which is deep on so many levels, on personal levels and also on systemic levels. My pain runs deep and I did not want to deal with it. And so running around all the time, running to the gym, I had two different gym memberships because I was trying to trick people into thinking that I only went to the gym once a day when really I went twice a day. So I had a membership for a morning gym and a membership for an evening gym because I thought I was so slick. And what's been amazing about this process is this promise has come true. The things that used to baffle me, like how can I possibly be okay with my body if I'm not working out all the time? How is that even? I mean, that literally was like, I was mind blowing to me. There was no reality in which that was true for me. And so letting go of the exercise as part of my program, working the steps, slowly I began to get to goal weight I began to loosen my grip on exercise. I began to actually enjoy exercise and try to pick things that I would really enjoy because I knew I could only do 20 minutes as opposed to it just being this like thing that I had to do. But when I got to my goal weight about a year into program, I realized that, yeah, the weight is really not the thing because I got to goal weight and I was like, really? This is it. This is what I've been working for. This is what I've been obsessing over. I don't like this. I don't like the way I look. I'm not at peace. This didn't fix it. And so that's where I really had to let go even more of the things I was doing on the outside in order to feel good about myself. It's these promises, exactly what they say. It's like, are they extravagant promises? Like sometimes like they will be fulfilled, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. I have no idea how they happen, which drives me crazy as a social psychologist because I love examining and understanding and predicting and even controlling human behavior. And I can't do that. I can't tell you the exact turning point where I started to look at my body not as an enemy, not as something to be subdued, not as something to be conquered and beaten, but as really my best friend. As the one thing that has always been there for me, always been on my side, never broken up with me, never rejected me, always working on my behalf, which is really just a metaphor for my deeper power. I avoid the term higher power. I like deeper power because it's not hierarchical. And so this has just been this incredible slow but steady unveiling of these promises, like a miracle. And I had a huge turning point in the summer of 2018. I decided to go on a long pilgrimage to France for 5 weeks to visit 18 ancient Black Madonna statues in these like remote mountain villages. And as I was doing all this work, that really coordinates with my program around trauma and body and connecting with my body and connecting with the earth and reclaiming my connection to the earth as a Black woman and all of these beautiful things, it eventually occurred to me that rather than renting a car and driving to all these 18 different Black Madonnas, I could walk to them as a way of reclaiming my relationship to my body and to the earth. And so one of the things that was fascinating to me as a compulsive exerciser was that my first thought when I decided to walk this pilgrimage, which ended up being 400 miles, when I decided to walk this pilgrimage, my first thought, I get to first thought before I came to program. My first thought, literally, I kid you not, which was a miracle to me, was, oh my gosh, I need to call my nutritionist and make sure that I change my food plan to accommodate all this extra exercise so I can be strong and healthy and present for this epic spiritual journey. That is a wonderful example of these promises to me because I sat there and started crying when I had that thought. I need to call my nutritionist and make sure I'm getting enough food. I'm not going to starve myself on this. I'm not going to make this about how I look. I'm not going to make this about me. And these promises, that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of what people think of us will leave us. And I was able to walk that pilgrimage, every last mile of it, armed with all the food that I needed to bring, and be free. And that is just an incredible promise. And my time's up, so I'm gonna stop there. And we're gonna move on to the speaker. I would like to introduce our speaker who qualifies for 20 minutes.
Thank you, Christina.
Thank you, Christina.
Thank you, Christina. Hi, everybody. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Revy Tal.
And, hi, Revy Tal. Welcome.
Hi, Revy Tal. Welcome. Hi, everybody. So good to be here. And thank you. Thank you for sharing your story, Christina. I don't think I've ever heard it before. I look forward to next week, God willing. I just want to say, Pamela, congratulations. And this is a God moment. And I just have this little
Serenity Bear here, and it says, I'm not, Serenity Bear came with a card, and this is part of my story tonight. I'm not a fancy bear, just a plain and rather small, but someone who really loves you said I should come to call. Put me under your pillow or on a nearby shelf, and when you feel discouraged, I'll do my best to help. And about 3 years ago, this came from Pamela, one of my earlier sponsors. So happy anniversary, PJ. I love that we're sharing this tonight. This was totally unplanned. So God be with us all. May we all be guided and guarded, directed and protected, and continued recovery to all of us one day at a time. I put this bear in the corner of my kitchen, in my bedroom, in my office, and this little bear, and it's, you know, the card is all tattered, but it reminded me that somebody out there in another area far, far away is actually doing work to watch over me, and there's a whole fellowship. Just when I feel alone, there are hundreds of you who actually care for me to reach out and call and say, you know, I got to talk things out. I got to do some stuff. And that I would definitely say is the underlying theme of what has helped me. So to the timer, could you please, let's see, it's been about a minute. So how many minutes do I have left? I don't know when we want to wrap up.
You have 8 minutes left.
Oh, that was really short. Okay.
Oh, wait, no, 18. I'm sorry. 18.
18 minutes. Okay. All right. So 8:41, 51, 59. Oh, right on. Okay. So I guess tonight I will share a few photos with you, and it's kind of funny. Internet went down. So I'm actually speaking to you through my phone. And if you could see how I'm sitting right now, it's sitting in a pencil holder that's propped up on a bunch of books so that I can sit on my comfy couch and share this. So let me show you the pictures first, and it will show you that willpower is not an issue for this addict. Where there's a will, there's a way. My background, I have a degree in nutrition. Tell me about diets. I'll tell you what to do and how to do it. This was, I think, my three plates a day, nothing in between. You can see how high that plate is piled. On the other hand, willpower didn't quite work in the long term. And so these are other times when life kind of stepped in, and I didn't have program to work on what was eating away at me. And so I was powerless. I needed to make the pain stop. And so I threw food down the hatch in order to feel anything but the pain. And in this program, I learned to face the pain and actually see the gifts that came during those dark nights of the soul. So I was born, I always say I was born a fat baby. I was born in the middle of a war. I was born addicted, I believe. My brother was in a bomb shelter with family members. My father was on the front lines. And my mother was a worrywart who today I can clearly see is also a compulsive overeater. So it was, it was no surprise looking back at it now, especially with my nutrition education, that my mom, who's a diabetic today, was probably hyperinsulinemic while she was pregnant with me. So they didn't see the diabetes, but they also didn't catch the insulin imbalance of that compulsive eater. And as she was feeding herself over her problems and worries in the Middle East during wartime, she was probably feeding this unborn baby, and I didn't stand a chance. I was born at 10 and a half pounds, born addicted. Everything had to be sweetened, formula over breast milk, and eventually even baby soup had to be soaked with little biscuits because otherwise I wouldn't take it in. I just needed my sugar. I didn't stand a chance. It is my destiny to have worked through food addiction and turn what was a struggle for power and powerlessness to empowerment through this spiritual path. And so right from the high chair, you know, looking for the sweets, the fruits, took the whole banana in, shoved it down my throat, even at a risk of choking. I just needed to get it in. So my relationship with food, I just couldn't get enough of it. In my teenage years, I ate to sedate my relationship with myself, let alone all of the other trauma that was in my dysfunctional family, as well as my relationship with others around me. And God, what relationship was there with God? None. I believed that there's something out there that brought me here and could take me out, and I called that God, but and I come from a Jewish background, but other than that, I don't believe I had a quality relationship with any sort of divine concept of this thing we call God that's beyond human measure. So throughout my teenage years, I suffered a lot of emotional upheaval, but I ate to sedate it all. I would rather feel today what feels like aches and pangs in my abdominal area. In the past, I used to think it was hunger, and I would just eat. The blood chemistry and the food fog just put me out for a while, and of course, the mood never changed. So it was always about sedating the mood or being moody. And then I would sort of, I didn't realize it until I did an inventory early on in recovery, which I might add is 3 years young. So I'm still a toddler, or coming out of toddler. I still have my tantrums. So progress, not perfection. I am not a saint. But I did know, and I'm still actually working on this character defect. There was this fear I needed to keep up. And so I somehow knew to anticipate that I would gain weight as a binge eater. And I would use my money, whatever money I had earned in my part-time jobs, to either feed the addiction or get whatever cool clothing I could have to create the illusion. You know, does this belt, you know, flatten my belly, or does this cardigan make it look like my front is a little flatter because I've gained some weight? And I would go through sizes anywhere from a 10 to a 22. There was anxiety and depression. I just couldn't stand it anymore, or I was scared of it to the point where I was just wired and tired from all the fear. But I covered up really well with lies, and I still catch myself that I even lie to myself. I am the master of illusions and delusions, sometimes even towards myself. Because I always think I have it under control. It's okay. Anyhow, so even in this 3 years of abstinence, I'm learning to be honest with myself. It's not true that X is happening to me. X is happening, and I'm reacting to it. And those seem to be underlying themes in my inventories. But anyhow, my adult years grew to be financially challenging and depressing. Unable to succeed in university, just kind of barely made it through. I was obese, I ate secretly, I binged, I had painful relationships until what happened was I thought, you know, I'm gonna nick this thing in the bud. I got a degree in nutrition, and I was gonna learn how to, you know, I somehow knew that food can heal and food can kill. I just didn't understand to what extent, but I was going to master that too, don't you know? I was going to gain control over that. And so I studied to become a dietitian and tried all kinds of diets, but I left that first degree larger than when I came in and felt embarrassed and ashamed, unqualified, and worked at a health food store as an overqualified vitamin consultant and cashier, because I just felt embarrassed. I certainly felt like a hypocrite. All the knowledge in the world didn't help me. And it did not dawn on me for a moment that I had an eating disorder or a food addiction. And the two can coincide, although they are separate, I'm learning today. So I did sign up for, how shall we say, bariatric clinics, and I held my breath, and willpower got me through that as well. And so there was the will to take action, but I could not hold steady with my willpower alone and stay within a healthy weight range, no matter how hard I tried. And so at this point, in my story, usually what I share is that I became acquainted with how powerless I was. And to this day, I'm trying to understand my powerlessness. And ironically, it flipped into a source of empowerment, a power greater than me that came into my life and supported me to the level of interdependence, where thanks to all of you and the power of this program and that which I call God to bring me to where I'm at today, and one day at a time, so long as I continue to do what I need to do, I stand a chance at having that recovery. So I found OA actually by accident, I call it divine providence, but broke and obese and depressed. I was walking through a shopping mall and I found a clearance bookshop. And the author mentioned this program. And I researched, you know, as a result of this step, you know, sort of self-help book, I researched, what is this thing about eating, compulsive eating? And like, maybe it has nothing to do with the food. Wait a minute, you know, and so I researched OA. I learned about OA for the first time in the back of this book in the index section, and found that it was available to me right here in Toronto every day of the week, for heaven's sakes. And I thought, why didn't I know about this? Of course, they're anonymous. And so coupled with the bariatrics clinic, I joined the extra support and thought, I've got this thing nicked or licked and that's it. I'm getting help. And I'm going to the doctor to get shots and pills and a really restrictive diet program. And I've lost quite a bit of weight. But you know what happens when we put the food down, all of the emotions that, whoops, am I still being, okay, good. A call came through. Sorry about that. All of the emotions that I didn't realize I was numbing out on, that I was medicating with food, came up. And so I had to eat again. Willpower didn't help me. It took about 13 years of sitting in the OA rooms where I bought into the idea that it was the last house on the block and there's nothing else out there. And I truly searched, heck, I even got a degree in nutrition to try to nip this thing in the bud. But I just accepted there's nowhere else for me to go. Eating disorders programs, I knew the statistics and I knew that it didn't even dawn on me that I might be a binge eater. That came later. That's not me. I've got willpower. Anyhow, what I learned was that my lifetime learning, not specifically by any one individual, but what I learned is that, I am powerless. I am powerlessly attracted to food when life is unmanageable. Sorry, am I being seen right now?
No.
Sorry, here I am. No, I'm sorry. There's a call that keeps coming through WhatsApp. I apologize. I can't bypass it. So what I learned through life experience is what we call classic step one. I learned that I am wired differently, and I wasn't even aware or conscious of it. I am powerlessly attracted to food and dangerous eating habits and behaviors when life is unmanageable. Something is too exciting, too scary, too depressing, too angering. Where's the food? I immediately food thoughts and food cravings. And if that doesn't get addressed through the grace of God and the power of this program, and God for me comes in through group conscience. So the grace of me coming in with all of you, with any of you who have that recovery and can allow me to share it, that concept of God shines through, comes through. And so through the grace of God, through the grace of sharing with the group, one-to-one calls, sponsorship, outreach calls, whatever it may be, I need to share what my problems are so that I can begin to conceptualize and work on my inventory. And now, thank God, the fourth step that for years and years and years I was scared of and just didn't understand how to wrap my head around those darn charts, it's happening. And so in classic, what I used to hate was step one, where I white knuckled it. I'm powerless over food and my willpower. It's the only thing I had. Today I know that when I get food thoughts or worse progression. This is a progressive disease. Food thoughts or worse food cravings or worse, God forbid, slipping into the food, dangerous food behaviors or a complete relapse. If I can catch that very first indication, that very first, what I call food porn, you know, fantasizing about really neat, whatever experiences with food, that right there for me, I learned in this program, in these rooms, not in the 13 years where I sat in the other format, in this format and with the help of wise elders and treatment, and feel free to ask me about that after the meeting if anyone's interested. But what I learned was go back from the moment, look at the clock, from the moment I have a food thought, if I can catch the thought, a craving for sure I can catch. The thoughts, cunning and baffling, that to me is code for conscious, subconscious and preconscious. So I can't always catch the thoughts, but what I can do is catch the cravings. If I'm calm enough to catch the thoughts, I look up at the clock, and if not, I'll still look up at the clock. What time did I have a craving? And I need to go back 4 waking hours to try to figure out, it may have been 20 minutes ago, it may have been 2 hours ago. You know, I may have just woken up an hour ago, so I've got to go back to the last 3 waking hours last night. Who or what happened that upset me? They either got me really excited, so happy I couldn't stand it and lost my balance, my spiritual balance, or perhaps something depressed me, something triggered a memory, or perhaps a character I had a run-in with, whatever it may be, something upset my balance. And my brain, in classic step one fashion, the good book tells us, the big book, I call it the good book, tells me that I am wired differently. I become powerless over that attraction to food when life is unmanageable. And so if I can do that 4-hour recall and figure out what upset me, there it is. Right there is the topic of either my spot check inventory or my fourth step inventory. If it's a bunch of stuff that's sometimes it's connected to a whole chain of events. But what I do know is I need to share it with you. If I shared it with my mother or even a professional psychologist that I'm consulting with, it's helpful, but not in the way that if I were to share it through program, through the steps, using the steps and the tools and fellows who understand the process together with me and who have witnessed how it works when we work it. And so I learned. What happened was I learned how to do this because in my 13 years of struggling, flailing program practice in what I call the regular OA format. Sorry, I just lost train of thought. I'm getting a little older here. what was I thinking here? What was I thinking to say? Sorry about that. Let's see. What was I going to say? Anyhow, during I remember. Okay, during those years, I knew how to have a strict food plan. I knew how to, unlike our leader, I hated exercising, but I loved to get some energy out every once in a while, but I'd have to have something to eat as I made my way out to the gym. I guess we're on opposite ends of the spectrum, but still the same disease. Anyhow, I knew how to will my way through. I wanted to burn those calories when I had to, because I knew I overate and my willpower was going to get me through. No. So eventually, as I became committed to a disciplined food plan of sorts through a bariatric clinic, for example, nobody taught me how to work the steps in a way that it worked for me, in a way that I found comfort.
1 minute remaining. Thank you. 1 minute.
Thank you. And so basically what ended up happening was I got into a lot of trouble and I got into a process addiction. So keeping the food down or keeping the food controlled, but not working the steps deeply, which my sponsor helped me with. I want to say that it took me, for those of you who are listening to this, perhaps somebody needs to hear this. It took me 9 months to work those first 70 questions and go deep, deep, deep before I stepped up. And those 9 months offered, I suppose, the basis of a, you know, one day at a time, the permanency of 3 years. And so I celebrate with you, and here's to you, anniversary person. And I'm really grateful to all of you here in fellowship. And this has been life-altering for me. And I'm really grateful to be here to share. And I've got to tell you, I felt really anxious and scared to share tonight. And I'm so glad that I get to make space for those emotions and still be here to share it with you. And I hope to have more stories in the future, one day at a time, as I continue to work this program with you. Thank you for being here to work it with me.
Thank you, Ravital.
Thanks, Ravital.
Thanks, Ravital.
Thanks, Ravital.
I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also want to thank all those who participated, especially our speaker, Ravital, who offered so much of herself. May we please have the reading of Just for Today?
I am Howard, a compulsive overeater. There.
Hi, Howard. Welcome.
Hey. Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true when Abraham Lincoln said, "Most people are as happy as they make up their minds to be." Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desire. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two paths, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid, especially I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me, and I'll pass.
Thank you.
Thanks, Howard.
We would also like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease.
Yay.
Thank you.
All right, closing statement. To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion and time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join in to say the Serenity Prayer? Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. Now let's pray for those who are still suffering.
God,
grant me the serenity to accept things
I cannot change,
courage to change I can,
wisdom to know the difference,
I will
be done.
Amen.
Coming back,
see everybody.
Congratulations, Pamela. Congratulations, Ravital.
Christina.
Thank you,
everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
Good to see you, Howard.
Hey, Mike. Good to see you.
The newcomers.
We got to talk soon.
Yeah.
Welcome to the newcomers.
Have a good week. Bye-bye.
Anybody have any questions? Anyone have any questions? Anyone want to be the treasurer?
Nope.
No. We'll find someone.
Terrible, buddy.
Yeah. I'll get on the phone. We'll find someone here pretty soon.
Okay.
Good night,
everybody.
Good night,
everybody. Liz. Hi, Liz. Hi, Mike. Thanks, Revital. Good job.
Hey, good night. Thank you for the support, Howard. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.